Banquet for the Damned by Adam Neville. Read by Luke R. Francis. For Clive Neville. From castles built of bones comes unknown music. Arthur Rambo. Chapter 1. It is a night empty of cloud and as still as space. Alone, a young man walks across a deserted beach. His eyes are vacant and his mouth is loose. The steps of his unlaced boots in the sand are slow, as if they are taken under duress, or as if he is being led. Guided away from the jagged skyline of St. Andrew's Town, he moves west toward the Eden Estuary and the tense Muir Forest beyond, until the distant streetlights become nothing more than specks winking at his back. As if beckoned, he then moves to the base of the dunes, where the shadows are long and the sand cold. Suddenly, he stops walking, and makes the sound of a man surprised by the touch of a hand from behind, or by the appearance of a figure at his side. He loses balance on his trawling legs, staggers backward, and drops to a sitting position. He dips his head, and then raises its weight on a neck made weak by sleep. Reaching his hands out, he fists the sand. It feels wet against his dry palms. Blinking sticky eyelids, he sucks all the air he can into his lungs. Acids churn in his empty stomach, and his heart starts to thump. Slowly, he lifts his face to the sky. His eyes widen. A dark but clear canopy of night comes into focus, and a fuller awakening hits and spreads throughout his body. Some of the numbness in his walk-warmed muscles goes right away. Some of it stays, like in his gums and in his tongue, where the air has come in through parted lips. Glancing about, he sees small waves from the North Sea lap and fizz against the shoreline. To his left stand the sand dunes, shadowy humps with sparse grasses growing upon their round summits, through which the lights of a hotel flicker yellow and orange in the distant hills. Confused and alarmed, his mind peels itself from the final wrappings of sleep. Standing up, he struggles to keep his feet, and looks down to discover that dressing has been hurried and incomplete. Beneath the padded jacket, his naked skin slides against the coat's lining. Under his jeans, there is no underwear, and his naked toes wiggle inside a big and empty space until they touch smooth hide. No socks. Shivers prickle his skin, though they are not caused by the midnight chill at sea level, and fear tightens his scrotum. Through the mess of his mind comes the memory of his mother's hands reaching down to collect him from the floor outside of an airing cupboard. She'd often recount the story to guests at Christmas, how her little boy would sleepwalk and be found mumbling about the crows. Relief dares to enter the young man's mind. He's not been sleepwalking for years, but that's all it is, a sleepwalk. So there is no need to panic, it's nothing. Deep breaths are taken. His heart feels fit to burst. His voice is weak, but talking aloud to himself adds something real to this undefined night. Walter, relax. Take it easy. Just relax. The idea of dressing and walking a mile from the Andrew Melville Hall of Residence to the West Sands is difficult for him to understand. It is such a distance, and no one stopped him. A frost sews across his stomach lining at the thought of wandering across all of the roads and passing the deep waters of a high tide to reach these far sands. Trapped in the dark, somewhere between late evening and the lightning of dawn, he looks for the time. His wrist is bare. But as he raises his hand and swats away a quilted sleeve, desperate to see the luminous digits and hands of his watch, he becomes aware of something on the lapel of his jacket,